for the podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5. Exit 216. If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hello, everybody, and welcome.
Episode 678. It's a hump day.
Yes, it is.
We talk a little bit about Black Jeopardy after 50 years.
Yeah, and a trigger gig.
We talk about Flamin' Lips' new Pink Floyd album.
And we try to write a tumbleweed song, or did we?
And then Flames Lips comes back.
Yep.
A tumbleweed song? Get out of my house! All right, this has been our silent episode. Thanks for listening, and have a good day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Terry and Getz Comedy Show.
Someday we're at a loss for words.
Starring Johnny Carson and Kenny Loggins.
With special guest appearances by Joan Cusack and John Lithgow. Later, we'll be talking to Steve Harris about his novel-stealing song, The Loneliness of the Long-Distance Runner.
I know. What was up with that guy?
I don't know. He stole the whole book.
I wonder if he ran long distances as a child.
Well, the bigger school. When they have the bigger stages, he runs long distances as he's playing his bass, and he runs around like Axl Rose or whatever.
Maybe they feel lonely.
Could be. But yeah, we were going to make this our no words episode. We talked about that on Monday, but we decided to go ahead and talk, and instead we started with a song with no words, which is cleverly titled Loss for Words.
It's a great day for International Children's Book Day.
It is. You should read The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner, because as I found out the other day, I remembered after I heard it, but I was reminded yesterday by Mr. Hedberg, every book is a children's book if a kid can read it.
That is true.
That might not be exact quote, but that's very close. I was listening to a bunch of Hedberg.
International Children's Book Day was started around Hans Christian Andersen's birthday. Huh. And as you know, he touched many children with his stories.
He did. Hansel and Gretel, was that a Hans Christian
Andersen? I think that's Grimm. A Grimm fairy tale.
What was the
tale.
One? It was... I just did a crossword puzzle. Which
the Ugly Duckling, he did?
Yep, he sure did. Because it said a bad restaurant themed after Hans Christian Andersen, and the answer was the Ugly Dumpling. Okay.
He also did Little Turd Maid, Mermaid.
The Little Turd Ate?
Yeah, Little Turd Maid.
Little Turd Maid. I like Turd Maids.
Swineherd.
Die Hard? Swineherd?
I know, that's a new band.
What's a Swineherd?
I don't know.
What did you say it for?
Because it just sounded cool. Swineherd.
Okay, I thought that was
cool. Also did The Red Shoes, which ended up having their diaries shown on Showtime for a long time.
The Red Shoe Diaries. I think I used to jerk off to that. Not positive, but it just rang a bell.
Hey, maybe.
Silk
Stockings. It's a little soft core.
Yeah. But when you're 14, soft core is about as hard as you're going to get.
Yeah. Especially, Showtime, late at night, 10 o'clock.
It's way better than watching the scrambled porn station where you kind of have to squint your eyes and look sideways just to see what's going on.
He also wrote The Princess and the Pea, which was adapted into a musical called Once Upon a Mattress, which Carol Burnett was in originally.
Eh.
But I was in Once Upon a Time.
You were?
Yeah, in high school. I was a soldier in the chorus.
Thought you were the pea.
At that time. No. No, what happened was a prince was looking for a princess.
Of course,
all the princesses are like, I'm a princess, marry me, We all like they do.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't believe half of you guys. So the real test was a princess would be able to tell
if there was a lump in her mattress.
And the lump in her mattress.
10 mattresses deep.
Yep. Exactly.
I know that story as a fairy tale of some mm-hmm. sort from a child, and it was adapted on many children's shows, like probably Sesame Street Electric
yep.
Company.
It adapted
like
easily to many things.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do a podcast of it.
Okay.
An adaptation.
I'll do it.
A podcast adaptation of The Princess and the Pea. No, I don't remember being in the chorus.
We'd have to modernize it, though.
Yeah.
To where it would be like, she could sleep on the couch if the remote was under the cushion or something. I don't know. That was just off the top of my head there.
Yeah,
but
I like it.
There was something funny I forgot to mention on Monday's show when I was talking about Saturday Night Live. They had a funny skit called Black Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
Kenan Thompson was the host, of course, and Alex Trebek.
Mm-hmm.
But his name was actually my name is Darnell Hayes. It was pretty funny. And they had the only other two black people on the show on there and Louis C.K. And they're yeah. like, why are you on this show? You're white. And he's like, I teach African-American history in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final Jeopardy clue was rap songs but begin with the word or with the letter N. And he's like, you be careful how you answer that question when we come back. It was pretty good, though. Black history, and it's funny because 50 years after Jeopardy debuted, we finally get our own one. That's what he said. Black Jeopardy.
Well, yeah. They categories. They got Family Feud now.
They got categories like It's Been a Minute, White People, and they go like, I can't remember one of the answers was like, this person did this and they got this much money for that. And it's like, psh. Or you got to answer in the form of a question. What is, psh? I remember when that fucking guy was doing, you know, it's like,
yeah.
So the sentence just has to say. And one of them, the lady answered a lady's name and they go, oh, I'm sorry, you must answer in the form of a question. And he's like, Dustin? So now it's a question. They didn't say what is Dustin or whatever the name was. It was pretty funny, though. I got a little kick out of the Black Jeopardy. That was funny. You still watching Seth Meyers? Has it been on since our last show? Nope.
Our most recent episode.
Yeah, you were talking about it
yeah,
on Friday's
no,
show.
No, I haven't watched any Seth Meyers since. No, I don't think he's been on. I was reading a little bit about Jimmy Kimmel, though.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You like him better than Fallon, huh?
Yeah, probably.
But you like Ferguson better than both.
I don't mind Fallon, though. You know, I think Fallon does a fair job.
Yeah.
He's just goofy. And I kind of like how he does, even though I think some of them are kind of, I don't know, maybe it's just fun to hate.
What?
On Fallon.
Oh, because of what he does? Or
yeah,
what?
But it's hard to hate on Fallon, though, because you know it wouldn't bother him anyway.
And plus, he's pretty good.
He
like,
is,
he's good
I know,
at his music
I know, that's
parodies,
exactly.
His David Bowie.
And like, you know, his little game show stuff that he does,
yeah.
You know, how he gets bigger stars, you know. It would be hard to say no to him, just because he's so fucking, why does that guy got to be so positive?
I know.
Because he's the epitome of positivity.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I can imagine that, and I almost thought of that. I saw a clip, I think it was just from the other night, when Billy Joel was on there.
Uh-huh.
And he had an iPad.
Did he play that song?
No, What a Matter of Trust.
Yeah.
No, actually, he's like, you know, I've been a big fan of yours. And he's like, I'm a little bit nervous anyway because I'm interviewing you right now. And he goes, but I got this iPad here, and it's got this cool app on it that's like a looper. He's like, and I was wondering if we could, like, make a fake doo-wop band with just me and you. He's like, maybe we could sing a song together. And he kind of looked at him for a second like, oh, you're just volunteering for me to have to sing with you? Like, and he's like, oh, no, sure. It's like, and it made me think of that when you said that, because he's always so positive. He's like, okay, we can just
I know,
do
how,
this.
Yeah, how could Billy Joel say no to him?
And he's like, okay, let's do it. And he's like, well, what do you want to do? And he's like, I don't know. You want to do one of your songs? Or he goes, let's do an old doo-wop song or something. I thought they were going to do, like, Uptown Girl or one of those mm-hmm. doo-woppy. But they ended up doing whatever, A Whim Away, whatever that song, you know.
But he probably did... They probably go backstage because I'm sure he like presents like, hey, this is kind of what I'm thinking. We could do this. Like when they goes backstage before the show, you know, because
yeah.
It's an all day thing. I'm sure working on a show like that, you know, I imagine they have dress rehearsal.
Yeah, they would
know?
Have to.
And
at least a one time run through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, you know, before that, everybody's got to be writing the jokes for the day and pitching ideas of skits. You know, I'm sure maybe some of them come from stuff that's, you know, previous days and stuff.
Yeah, you'd have to, I think.
They probably just have files of jokes. Oh, Obama's in the news. Pull out all the Obama jokes. Let's see which ones match. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so many times it goes. Otherwise, as a writer, you'd probably be writing the same Obama joke.
Oh, yeah.
Like every couple weeks. You know? Why not just store it away and then pull it up whenever, oh, Obama, keyword in your giant trig-a-gig.
Trig-a-gig?
I know. Is that a memory size?
It's going to have to be. It's like
trig-a-gig.
Tree million gig-a-gigs in the jig-a-gut. Gigabytes.
Do you do a lot of gum chewing?
Not really, no. Every once in a while, just because when I'm down at my dad's, he's always got a pack of gum right there. We'll chew some gum.
Mm-hmm.
We used to smoke
get down
it.
To chewing gum.
Chewing the fat. Well, it started.
That would
out
be a podcast like chewing gum.
We just try out different gums.
Yeah. Well, actually,
that's not very good.
Howard Kramer did that already on their podcast. Dude, who charted?
That dude's weird.
He was trying to find his summer gum back in the day when I was listening to that.
I remember that.
And he decided on something. He tried out like dessert gums. He said were like too desserty, like those sundae, chocolate sundae gum.
I didn't even know they had such a thing.
Dude, they do. It's weird. It is weird.
No, I smoke. I smoke that one gum that's got, no, it's that gum Trident Layers.
Uh-huh.
My dad has that.
It's got layers.
We started doing it when we'd bring Jaden down there, and he'd always want a piece of gum.
Mm-hmm.
First time he swallowed it.
Cool kids chewed gum.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, but we're not going to give you no more gum, buddy, if you swallow it, because it's sticky. It'll get stuck to your insides.
That's not true, though.
I know it's not, but we don't want him swallowing a bunch of gum, because he'll just eat it.
Yeah.
It's just something you tell kids, like Santa Claus and Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, so now...
But I spent most of my younger years thinking that all that gum that I swallowed...
Oh, man, it was just going to come out as a big sinner turd.
And then it was another one of those rebellion things, too. Like, if they would have been straight up with me, maybe I wouldn't have ate it. But I was like, fuck you guys, I'm going to eat it because I'm going to see what happens.
Yeah, you told me not to.
Yep.
That's why a lot of people do stuff.
Yep. Gum is on the decline.
Really?
Yeah. Did you know the market for sugared gum was only $500 million?
What about, like, Nicorette gum?
Oh, I'm sure. That costs astronomical amounts.
Yeah.
But only half a billion, $500 million. That doesn't seem very big for a sugared gum industry.
No. Not compared to what it used to be.
Yeah.
Gum used to be a lot bigger, I think.
Mm-hmm. And then you got Sugarless is $3 billion, six times the sugar, which I wouldn't expect. But you said you got the Trident. That's the top brand. The most popular is Trident.
Yep.
Orbit.
Four out of five dentists prefer Trident.
Trident, Orbit, Extra, Dentine, and Five.
Orbit's number two?
Mm-hmm.
Got that dirty
car. Now, I remember when Extra first came out. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
When Extra first came out. But now you got like Orbit and Dentine, or Orbit and Five. Those guys have been out for a while.
And I think it goes to prove that a good, healthy, catchy ad campaign makes you what you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got a dirty mouth? Clean it up. That's a popular campaign. Extra flavor, extra.
They spend
extra
a lot of money on advertising.
That extra thing, man. They had the clever, or not cartoons, but commercials of like people doing stuff for like, oh, just one piece of gum. And then it like took 4 days or something.
I'm surprised just those standard Wrigley's brand, you know?
Those used to be my favorite. I used to love Juicy Fruit.
Top flavors? Can you guess the top flavors?
Of what? Any gum. Kind of gum?
Any kind of gum.
Bubble gum flavored.
Dude, that's the only thing that isn't bubble gum flavored. Dude, that doesn't. They got bubble gum flavored ice cream.
They don't have bubble gum flavored gum?
No, they don't.
What? Just regular bubble gum. That's not flavored. It's just the flavor. I would say probably... remember Big Red? That was cinnamon gum.
Yeah, but that would be cinnamon.
Okay, cinnamon.
That's not on here.
So you're asking,
top five.
Oh, top five. Okay. Spearmint.
Yep, that's number two.
Wintergreen. Peppermint.
Peppermint is number three.
Because I'm thinking of brand names like Juicy Fruit.
Mm-hmm. Berry. No, would that be berry or citrus? Juicy Fruit.
I think a mix of both.
It would be. Well, that's number four and five.
Oh, so Juicy Fruit wraps it up.
And number one is mint.
That's why I think Wrigley's should be the one who's number one.
You would think so. I would have thought Wrigley's would have been number one. But even Trident, those are kind of newer, aren't they? Remember, those have been like...
Yeah.
Dude, it's weird at time, though, because I was just watching a Seinfeld episode yesterday, dude, and it was like 23 fucking years old. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like no season one shit either.
Season two.
It's just like, fuck, man. I can't... It's hard to believe because it has that ancient TV production about it.
Yeah.
When Seinfeld, like on Channel 12 or whatever, you know.
It looks
like it's like you were watching Bonanza back in the 80s when that was an old show to you.
It's not quite that.
It's not. But yeah. You know what I'm saying. It's kind of like it's a little bit grainy and George's hair is that red jacket like. It's not as red as some of the reds you see, but it's still a funny show, though. It's weird, though.
I love that episode when he comes in and he's got that red jacket and he's got those goggles on.
Yeah.
Then he's like, it's so hot out there. He's like, so what? You're tunneling through the middle of the earth? He's like, no, I lost my glasses at the gym. Somebody stole his glasses. He thought it was, I can't remember the rest of the scenario because there's always like four.
Yeah,
stories in each one.
And yeah, and Jerry and Lane had the same hair, only hers was longer.
<That's kinda laughs>
when
true.
He had the kind of the huge yeah. hair on the top.
And then there was that one episode where he was dating a girl that kind of looked like him.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to have George point that out. Oh, I read that. I was told you last week I was talking about Saturday Night Live going down the rabbit hole. And Larry David was a writer for one full season and he only got one skit to air. In a full year, and during that time, he actually was so fed up with his job that he went in and he quit his job on a Friday, and then he was so freaked out by how stupid he was, he went in Monday and just act like nothing ever happened, which is actually a Seinfeld episode, too, that George did. Huh. So that Seinfeld episode was written about when he worked at Saturday Night Live, and he went in and, you know, I'm sick of this job, I quit, and you guys could take this job and shove it. And he left, and then the weekend he's just going, fuck, why did I do that, man? I had a job at Saturday Night Live. His friend goes, just go in Monday and pretend like you were kidding. He goes, and I did, and he goes, and it worked. Fucking awesome. Just pretend like you were, I was just kidding.
I'm sure that's happened. I'm sure somebody's done that.
What about that time on Review when he came and he said, you know what, I want a divorce.
That was pretty funny.
She's like, you know, I've been thinking about that, and you know, you're right.
Yeah, got him back with her.
I got my lawyer. I know she's fucking my lawyer. No.
Yeah, that reminded me, that gum thing reminded me of a Seth Meyers skit that was kind of just, I don't know, it's funny to see people just try different things because he's obviously just kind of trying stuff and, you know, he's admitted he's just, you know, getting stuff together.
Yep.
But he had this thing and it wasn't that funny as far as like these were like weird trading cards. Like my favorite trading card company is starting back up and here are a few of their new sets and it'd be like pop idols on drugs or, you know, just goofy things like this. But he had like eight different things and of like three different cards each, and then he'd do like stats on one of them was the whole gimmick. But in each pack he's like, my favorite thing is, of course, this is these cards is the old piece of gum in it. And so before he did each one of these things, he had a stick of gum that he'd be first the stick of gum, and then he'd put it in his mouth, and then by the end he had like nine pieces of gum. But he got down to, like, through seven of them. And you could tell he was kind of, like, holding it off to the side, announcing the next set of cards and stuff. And he started to go into them without eating the gum, and the audience started to boo him. Because he didn't eat the... And he's like... And he said something first, something, and he's like... And second of all, you guys are fucking vicious. Well, he didn't say the fucking...
Well, still.
Yeah, but he... it was still pretty funny.
It is funny.
Pretty funny. Fred Armisen's still gone.
Yeah, he was at South by Southwest.
I know. What is that, 8 weeks now?
No. What? So it's one weekend, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's just one weekend, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know, but he's been off for a while.
He's doing a Portlandia little tour thing. And last week's episode was about a guy who rides a bike all the time and he delivers stuff for a company, like he's a courier.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in after he brings his bike in. And his boss is like, you know, I've been meaning to talk to you. You know, we're ramping up. You know, we're getting more busy. We're hiring more people. And I don't know how to say it, but you're going to have to get a car. He's like, what? A car? I've got a bike. Why would I need a car? He's like, well, you can go a lot faster and you can put more stuff in it. And that way you can get more done. And I'm not going to have to let you go because you're right. So it's just, you know, people in Portland like to ride bikes because it's the biggest bike.
People in hipster towns like to ride bikes.
And so they finally talk him into buying a car and they take him out and ends up being that guy who's in everything. He's in Portlandia a lot.
Brian Posehn.
Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
And he's the car salesman. Ends up selling him a really shitty car. It's pretty funny, though. Not as funny as it could have been, but still funny. I know you don't get that channel or you don't watch it or something.
I don't know.
You don't have any desire to watch it.
It's a little bit of both. I don't know. I watched a few.
You get IFC.
You know,
I
don't get IFC.
You don't? No. Okay. I lied.
No.
Do you get the weather channel?
I get weather.
Dude, listen to this weather guy.
We're receiving hail. Hail and heavy rain.
This is in Oklahoma where my wife's cousins live.
This guy gets talking about this. We're getting some small hail and some heavy rain.
He gets really excited here coming up. That lightning strikes and he almost gets killed. But just the audio alone.
Small hail, heavy rains, and gusty winds. It could be a severe thunderstorm now. The winds are starting to pick up big time. Whoa. Wow.
Oh, wow. Just bear with us. It's going to be funny. I swear it's worth it.
Whoa. Oh, my God. We're getting a severe now. Holy shit! God damn! Jesus fucking Christ! Now the winds are picking up! We are getting extremely strong winds!
You can hear his list better now.
We're getting winds of 60 miles an hour! Maybe 70! I may have to take cover soon! Oh my God! Definitely a severe thunderstorm! Definitely a severe thunderstorm! Jesus, look at the wind! The roar! This is Oklahoma!
This is Oklahoma. Wow.
70 to 80 miles per hour wind.
Where's that guy from?
Oklahoma.
No, I mean, is he from a local station?
He's just a dude.
Jesus!
Or is he just a guy standing out in the weather?
Yeah, he's just...
Whoa!
He's just watching it off his back porch.
Whoa.
He's like 70, 80 mile an hour winds. Well, at least 70. He don't have no measure. But listen to what he says.
He'd be blown away if it was 70, wouldn't he?
Well, he's on a covered porch. But listen to what he says at the end.
Holy shit, that was awesome.
That's just a video I stumbled across, and I thought it was hilarious.
The winds are picking up.
You know, they've been having a drought in the West, speaking of weather.
Really? Well, this was in Oklahoma. In the West?
Mm-hmm.
You mean where we are?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, not here, but I mean more like in California and stuff. And Colorado. And,
Jesus fucking Christ.
But they've been getting, they got a little bit of rain, which caused the sprout of tumbleweeds. And then the winds picked up and blew them around and stuff. And one lady checked out her window when there was, when it all of a sudden went dark. And the tumbleweeds were like 12 feet high outside her house. They were blocked in. They couldn't get out the doors.
I saw a picture of that one time.
Well, it's fucking nuts, isn't it?
Yeah. It probably wouldn't be that heavy, though. You could come out and just, like, push through the tumbleweed.
I don't know, man. Because they kind of, if they were...
All hooked together?
Yeah.
But you could still get your door open, right?
And think of the fire hazard, though. If they just, like, went up against something hot, they'd just be fucking... It'd be like, you can't... I know you can't read a book on it, but it is kind of Kindle, Lean.
And your door at the usually opens in of your house, so you could open the door and just like walk into fucking tumbleweeds.
That is true.
That would be a scary maze.
Why don't people have doors that they go out? Well, that's most screen doors go out.
Yeah. I don't know. Easier to kick in?
Yeah.
No, you open the door that way.
That's a lot of tumbleweeds, though. I mean, because, I mean, you know, that would have to be, I mean, how big's a tumbleweed? One tumbleweed.
I don't know.
A few feet, a couple feet, two. You'd have to get at least four.
16.
Four tumbleweeds high. And that's like, you think you'd see that tumbleweed wave coming.
Huh.
There's a song.
You can see that tumbleweed a-coming.
Yep.
It's blowing in the wind. Got my whole fucking front of my house covered up. But no one can get in. Because I'm stuck in tumbleweed prison. You ever been to tumbleweed prison?
No.
You got to be careful when you live down there in Arizona. You can get caught.
Tumbleweed prison?
Yeah. They'll lock you up for nothing.
Dude, I did a study, and it led me to believe that eating at McDonald's makes people stupid.
That could be... I believe that. I feel smarter. I haven't eaten there in months.
Dude, this one guy in Norway, his friend said... Now, I don't know a lot of what this story means, but his friend said he was too active with the ladies. Ooh. That was the reason given with this. But they gave him a choice. He could get a Barbie tattoo on his ass... Or a McDonald's receipt tattooed on his arm, one of his McDonald's receipts.
I saw that.
And he chose to get the receipt.
But it's weird, dude, because it's in... Did you see the picture of it?
Mm-hmm.
It was like $300 for a Big Mac.
Well, in whatever they got, the shillings.
Deutschnoids.
What? I don't even know how that comes about, like... You're too active with the ladies. You either get a Barbie tattoo on your ass or a McDonald's receipt on your arm. Okay. Who says okay to that?
I wonder how much it cost to get that tattoo.
Well, funny you should say that because the tattoo parlor offered to tattoo the receipt for the tattoo that he got on his other arm. And he said okay.
Is that true, or you just...
That's true, dude.
Seriously?
That's what I heard.
I didn't hear that turn of the story.
That and cattle.
That's fucking crazy.
So, I don't know. Would you get a tattoo of a receipt on your arm?
No, only if it was for, like, a donut.
You'd get a donut?
You ever get a receipt for a donut? There's one thing I don't need is a receipt for a donut.
You can write that off, though.
Why could we bring paper?
You'd write that off as a business expense.
I keep it in my file under D.
Yep. I had a meeting and we split a donut.
For a donut. Oh, my God. So I just found out something that I don't think I know if this is fair or not.
What's that?
In that Oregon's Last Comedian Standing competition, they have what they call the Comics Community Choice Wild card, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I told you about it. Last year, it was a closed voting thing, and it was only for the comics who were in the contest or had been in the contest that didn't make it through.
Mm-hmm.
Comics choice. Well, now they've put it onto Facebook and said that anybody can vote. So now it turns into panhandle for votes, which I'm not gonna do that, but I think I had a better chance if it would have just been the comics, because I'm friends with a lot of them. Yeah. And I put them on shows and they say they like me, whether they do or not, I don't care.
I would imagine it sucks as running one of those things. You get a lot of pressure from the bands who are coming at you from angles that will increase their chances to win.
Yeah.
And it would, you know, it'd be tough not to buckle under the pressure if you got like several people doing it, you know, kind of a thing.
Right. So they've set it up like a poll, like you used to do those polls on your page, so you can only vote once, because it...
I don't know how to access those anymore, though.
You don't?
Questions. Is that what you're asking?
No, it's a poll. It's listed as a poll, and it is a little different than the ones you used to do, but they've probably added a lot of new...
So you can vote once per Facebook profile?
Yeah. But what's weird is they have three pages with the poll on it. One is 1450 All Comedy AM. The other one is Oregon's Last Comedian Standing. And the other one is The Giggle Spot, which is another page for another show on that radio station. So for some reason, they're given three opportunities to vote.
Weird.
I know. So what if, I guess, if some people are more diligent and go to all three pages and vote for who they want, and then if another person just goes, oh, yeah, I'm just going to the one page to vote. I'm not going to fucking send out messages that say, vote for me, go to this page, because I'm just not going to.
Yeah. It's not worth it unless you know there's, a, you know, you have the numbers on your side.
Yeah, and there's like 35 people that in the vote in the poll to choose from. So anyway, if you're interested in that, if you came to the show, go out and vote on Facebook. That's stupid. It's the Oregon's Last Comedian Standing wild card poll. It's a wild card poll.
Have you ever been to the Himalayas?
I went there once with M. Night Shyamalan. No, I haven't been to the Himalayas.
With Mount Everest and all that?
Martin Everest was a guy I used to go to school with.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What was he known for?
Mountain climbing. Just kidding.
I wonder if he had a propensity to do that.
We'd call him Mount every once in a while, or make jokes about mounting him. we were kids, though, so we really didn't. We were Mountain Martin Everest.
His name was Martin? No way. It was cruel parents.
Martin Everest.
That's rough.
It's called Rough Terrain. His middle name was Terrain. Tyrain. He was a black fella. No, I'm kidding.
At least they didn't name him Morton Everest, right? That's the only one that could be closer to Mountain. That's the only name.
What if he was English? They'd call him Martin. Martin Everest. Have you ever climbed Martin? Martin Everest?
They could have named him Moat Everest.
Or just Mo.
Yeah.
Mo-tane. Mo-intane. My eyes are starting to water a little bit from that.
You know how they were formed, though, the Himalayas?
Martin Everest.
You know India, right?
I do. That, yeah.
India used to be its own little thing, but it floated up over millions of years and crashed into the continent.
Oh, like a...
And kind of like it folded over because they were soft.
The
like
plates?
Yeah, it folded over and created the mountain. But it's still moving inward. Did you know that?
The
it's
Himalayas?
Still crashing into the continent. India is still crashing into the continent, making the mountain bigger every year.
I did not know that. So
it's
like
still moving at 67 millimeters per year.
That's a tiny bit, but still in like 100 years. Huh?
No, in 10 million years, it'll go up about 1,000 miles inward. In 10 more million years.
So in a million years, it would go...
It would cut it in half, basically, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know, 1,000 miles pretty far, and it's not like through the continent or anything.
So the Himalayas are in India?
Yeah, it's at the border of India.
Okay.
And China?
And that's where Christopher Columbus thought he was when he found America? In India?
Yeah, he thought he was in India.
Dude, I've fucking heard Louis C.K.'s thing. I don't know if you ever heard that one before, but it's so funny. He's like, Christopher Columbus was a dick. He's like, he got to America, and he's like, hey, you Indians, this is India, right? And they're like, no, this isn't India. And he's like, yeah, you guys are Indians, right? And he's like, no, we're not. And he's like, you guys are Indians. And he's like, and then like 2 months later, they knew, and they fucking never stopped calling them Indians. They were just like, nope, you guys are Indians. He's like, no, this is not India, and we're not Indians. He's like, you guys are Indians. We're going to take your shit.
All right? I should have known when they weren't getting all the spices they needed.
Like,
that's what they wanted. They wanted spices.
They wanted Indian spice?
They wanted black pepper.
Ah, we want the black pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Black pepper's good.
It's always been valuable to make your food taste good.
Pepper?
Unless you're going to McDonald's.
More than salt, right?
Yep.
You don't get pepper at McDonald's, do you?
I don't think so. They don't have pepper packets.
And why is that?
I don't know. The same reason they don't sell bean tacos.
Because they're racist. No black pepper.
They don't have salt packets either,
though.
No
beaners and no black pepper.
They don't have salt packets.
Oh, they put plenty of salt on it that you don't need extra packets. You could have a heart attack just by having a regular fucking Big Mac attack. Right?
That is true.
You buy a $12 burger in Switzerland. It's delicious. It's a 6.3-ounce. Fucking.
That's so expensive. You could buy lunch for a week for $12, couldn't you?
Almost two. Well, yeah. Yeah.
You buy a loaf of bread.
Loaf of bread?
A loaf of bread. You buy a loaf of bread and some meat. Meat for a whole week, man, that's going to cost you $6 to $8 probably easily, right?
Depending on how much, you know, a lot of people can go with one slice of meat on their sandwich.
Oh, come on. You're just eating bread.
Basically. Especially if it's that thin slice shit.
I know.
I need at least four slices. Like, I'll put a whole pack of that fucking
Carl Buttig. Yeah, it's a one-pack deal.
You just slap the pack on there and... Well, sometimes if you're feeling like making it a little bit fluffier, you'll peel each one apart and like roll them up like you're being a Subway artist or something.
Or sometimes just because you want two sandwiches, you could use it to make two sandwiches if you got enough cheese.
Sometimes, you know, and not so much anymore because we've been
married
for a while.
But one slice of Carl Buttig, could you imagine?
What? For a little kid, I guess, but three is pushing it.
No way, because even a kid, he wouldn't fucking taste anything.
You wouldn't even know it was there. It would be buried with mayonnaise and mustard. Sorry, I know you don't like mustard, but...
I don't put either one of those things on my sandwiches.
No mayonnaise?
No.
Miracle Whip?
But I'll put... you know, I will not get ketchup or mayonnaise on my sandwich, but I will put fry sauce on it.
This has only happened a few times, because like I said...
I don't mind ketchup. I don't like... going to a fast food restaurant and getting anything that would make it hard for me to detect if someone spit on my sandwich.
Ah, that's
why I don't like getting ketchup or mayo or anything like that on
there. You can't even begin to put that into your mind, because once that gets in there, and if that's all you're thinking about, then anytime you go to a fast food, any place.
I put my own ketchup on there so I can look and see.
Okay, that's understandable, but you can't let that get the best of you.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's just sanitation issues. I'd rather know where my ketchup's coming from.
You know? Make your own ketchup?
Yep. Word had a Brian Langthrop once spooged in the fry sauce at Chevy's. But I don't believe it, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Spooged in it?
Yeah.
Like right out of his penis?
You know, he liked to talk big.
Yeah,
and he also, he acted on things, too. He wasn't above taking his balls out.
Yeah, but it would be kind of difficult, I think, to, like, work up rubbing one out at work. Like, enough to finish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come in.
Finish. Finish into the sauce.
Because I don't think I could jerk off at my work, let alone at a restaurant, and then come in the sauce.
Yeah, it would be tough. And it'd have to be in the morning, too, when you're making the sauce. I don't know.
You could come in later.
No one's trusting that guy to open a restaurant to make the sauce. No, their fry sauce wasn't bad. Hey, check out this idea, and I'm thinking about this, and don't be ripping me off, people out there, because... Until I do it. Dude, what do you think about a corn dog restaurant?
A corn dog what?
Restaurant.
Strictly corn dogs?
But I'm not just talking like your average corn dog. I'm talking about just battered sausages.
Gourmet.
Like a good sausage, you know? Batter it up, throw it in a deep fryer.
Like a gourmet corn dog.
Make a specialty sauce for him.
Corn dog porn. We could call it
corn dogs. It'd be like DAWG.
But we could call it gourmet dog. That's already been done.
Corn dogs shack.
Corn may dorg.
You think people would eat there though? Yeah, I guess you could do like the sides of the desserts of like the deep fried mini Snickers or whatever, you know, the deep fried Oreos if you're doing frying stuff anyway, you know?
Right.
But I don't know. I like a good corn dog if it's cooked right. You know, not a lot of places cook right, because most of the very place you get a corn dog, you know, it's fucking at a deli counter of a convenience store.
And it's been in there too long.
Where the oil's like months old and fucking they're not frying it at the right temperature, so it's just soaking in grease rather than cooking in grease. Because if you cook things in the right temperature in grease, it's not greasy.
Right.
You know, the outside is crisp. And my, you know, I mean, but it's not like a soaked grease corn dog.
You know what I've been doing lately? We buy a big box of 36 corn.
You've been going to the big box store?
No, frozen corn dogs, like when we go to Walmart.
Uh-huh.
Just for so the kids can have easy snacks. And so,
selling them at the car wash for a dollar a pop.
No, but rather than, you can keep guessing as I tell the story.
All right.
Rather than cooking them in the microwave, which I normally used to do since our
You've been cooking them on the front lawn.
That's close too, but that's incorrect. Our oven went kind of tits up. You know, I've been talking about that over the last year. We spent a lot of money on that fucking stove, and it doesn't work.
And you're still
right.
Not getting a warranty on it, deal from it?
No, because it went out right after the warranty.
Damn it.
Was like the day after they had
that sucks,
mark.
Dude, man.
But anyway.
Because a nice stove is a nice stove.
So we got this toaster oven type thing, you know. There's a little toaster oven that you can cook like little Totino's pizzas in.
Mm-hmm.
Not little
mm-hmm.
ones, but the regular size Totino's.
Yep.
And you cook
and
some corn dogs.
And you've been using them as Frisbees.
I cook my corn dogs. And that was six guesses you gave in one story, and they were all incorrect, sir.
It was.
Yes. But no, I cook them in there, and they're so much better. They get crispy around the stick to where you can nibble the little corn dog batter build up on the bottom of the dog there, and when you cook them in the oven, I mean the microwave, they suck because they're not properly thoroughly
and then
heated.
Too hot.
And they're too hot, and they're soggy.
Fall apart.
Yeah, it's just kids. Don't cook your fucking frozen corn dogs in the microwave anymore. Don't do it.
Yeah.
It's worth the extra 17 minutes.
It is. It is.
I had to cook it 18 minutes.
What you can do, even if you do microwave them, like if you're listening to this and you just microwaved corn dogs, and
right.
Now you're like, man, I wish I would have crisped these up. Put a little bit of pan fry oil.
Ah.
You know, and roll it around in a pan on some high heat with a little bit of oil in there, and it'll, you know, fry up, you know, on the outsides, but it'll still taste like dump in the middle.
Dump? That was a great way to put it. It's going to taste like dump in the middle.
See, that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, a good corn dog, corn dogs aren't like pizza because a bad corn dog isn't a good corn dog.
And even a corn dog that's been cold and sitting around for a day is not good.
And why are those chili cheese ones, the chili lovers, you know which ones I'm talking about?
Chili cheese, yeah, I know.
The
what about
chili hot dog, corn dogs?
I like those okay, but I
yeah,
don't
but
like
why
them.
Are those always rubbery? Those are always more rubbery, it seems like. Or maybe I'm just like,
you know what?
Those are the ones at the beginning of the day because no one else wants to buy the fucking chili and cheese ones. That's what it is, isn't it, Flames? He said yes.
You're supposed to take the condoms off.
Oh!
They're rubbery.
Huh.
Hi-yo!
I met a guy down at the store the other day. He said that he used to be in a theater. He used to do a podcast with his buddy, but it wasn't really a podcast. It was something else.
It was a faux cast?
I don't know what it was, but he said that they would do like fake interviews with each other.
See, it's fake.
Their voices.
That's what I mean.
And stuff.
Fool.
But fake interviews.
It could
with
be
people.
A weather faux cast.
Yeah. I gave him my card. He said he was going to listen to the podcast.
Cool. I want to start doing some interviews. Maybe fake ones. Oh, wait, I shouldn't have said that out loud.
I told him, I gave him a card, and I said, you drunk dial that number on there.
Exactly.
We need more drunk dialers.
Yeah, we do. I almost drunk dialed it myself, just with in a different character's voice, just to see if you would be able to recognize my voice.
I would like to welcome Flames back.
Hey, he's back. It's Wednesday, and here he is.
I have a question for Flames.
So he did the first half of Monday's show, second half of Wednesday's show. What's your question?
That's not really half.
Well, we're about halfway through.
I guess you recorded some silence.
I did.
Oh, our silent episode.
Yeah, we did, but we didn't air that because we thought it was
right.
A waste. We could.
Right. You got a timer going. That's fine.
Yeah.
Not that time matters.
Yeah. We got
hey, Flames, 20. What's the best you have ever bowled? Backwards.
Backwards? I don't think I've tried.
What do you think the highest record-breaking game that just happened, someone bowled backwards, what do you think their score was?
A 300, probably.
No, 280.
Pretty good, though.
280?
Yeah. That's like...
it's not bad.
Ten dingers in a row.
Yeah.
Well, don't you get... I don't know how that works, because if you get a...
I do. I'm an expert at bowling
but
scoring.
On the 10th frame, usually you get to go again if you get a strike.
Mm-hmm. A strike counts.
So
you,
you
counts your score plus the two previous balls.
Okay, so if you rolled 10 strikes in a row, wouldn't you get another roll?
Well, if you roll three strikes, that's 30 points in a row for the first strike on the first frame, right? If you go, it's the two following balls, not the two previous balls. So if you roll a strike in the first three frames, right, your score at the first frame is 30 because you got the strike plus strike, 30, right?
Right.
And that's how you can do so. You extrapolate that nine frames, right? That's 270. 270.
Oh.
And then the 10th ones don't count. Like if you get the 10th frame ones, the first frame of the 10th frame, the first ball, you get a strike. It doesn't count that one plus the next two because it's the 10th frame. So you got your 270 plus then the 30 in the 10th frame.
That's too confusing.
That's 300.
I think I've only got a 138.
I spent many times. The only reason why I know is because I spent many times keeping score. Back before even the computer things that, you know, where you actually had to hand score it. They'd give you the sheet that was huge and long and with your shoes.
And you'd make good tips doing that too, wouldn't you?
No. I didn't know they gave you tips. If I knew that, I would have hung down there more. What the fuck?
Oh, man. I had a buddy that'd go down there and he'd get tips for doing that.
I had a buddy went down there and fell on his ass.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
He challenged us to a bowling match.
Bowling?
Yep. Because me and friend Tim and friend Jared.
Yeah? And you guys were bowling?
For Columbine?
And who else? It might have just been us three, but I think Nate Hill was with us, maybe.
Nate Hill.
He was in The Delinquents. Was that a band? The Indignants.
Those are both bands.
You remember The Indignants?
Yeah.
Local band?
Yeah.
Okay, so, anyway. Huh. Oh, we'd just gone back from bowling, and Tim's dad had been drinking a little bit, and his buddies were there. And they started talking shit about bowling, because we just got done back from bowling, and they were pretty trashed. And they were talking trash. And the next thing you know, they were throwing down the challenge, them versus us, old guys versus young guys.
Oh,
bowling.
Shit.
We weren't even, well, I was probably old enough to drink, but those guys were younger kids. They were probably about 19 at the time, maybe.
Huh.
Which put me about 23, 24, maybe.
Right.
And so we went down there to the bowling alley, and the first one, Tim's dad goes up there and goes too far into the lane before the ball releases and gets all oiled up and falls right on his face right there over the line into the lane. And we beat them soundly, those drunk guys.
That's awesome.
Yep.
It's easy to beat drunks.
It is. But it was a good time, though, and it was fun.
I like beating up drunk people sometimes, too.
I look forward to it.
We'd always be playing
poker,
and Tim's dad would come in and he'd say, "Who wants to play blackjack? Who wants to play blackjack?"
Yeah.
He'd been drinking, and he'd want to play blackjack. $5 a hand, which was pretty spendy for us, you know, because we were playing
kids.
You know,
too.
I mean, we'd buy in, you know, 30 to 50 bucks sometimes. But still, you have $5 a hand, you can burn through 50 bucks pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then I remember one night we did lay down. There was probably 10 people at the table plus himself. We all put down $5. I know he put 5 to our 1. That's what it was, and we all played Indian poker.
Huh. I don't even know what Indian poker is because I'm a racist.
That's where you put one card, you take one card, you don't look at it, and you put it on your head.
Oh, okay, I remember that.
So you can see everyone else's cards.
I used to play that as a kid.
Yeah, you put $5 down to all our 1, and it came down to him and Dust. And everyone folded because one had the queen and Dust had the ace. And Devern, his dad, had the queen, but he didn't know he had the queen. He just knew he was looking at an ace. Everyone else saw the ace and folded.
Ah.
And he didn't, and he made Dust fold that ace. and took it down.
Shut him up. Shut him down.
Yeah, and he folded that ace. That's the best card you can have in Indian poker.
Shut up.
I lost. That was my only time ever really playing Indian poker.
And you were the only Indian in there, weren't you?
Maybe. I hate to say that because, you know, even some people have Indian in them and they don't have dark skin such as yourself, right?
Yeah, I got a little Indian in me.
Yeah, but you're not, you don't, I wouldn't like look at you.
It's a little plastic Indian.
Indian.
He's up my butt.
Yeah. I got like that guy that was on the Colbert Report. He's got a segment he calls Better Know Your District, and which is an ongoing part of where he visits every district in the U.S. It's a 479-part series. He's only on, like, part 70 of after 10 years.
And he's got some Indian in him?
No, this guy was the district with the most black people in it in the state of some state. And the guy was... part black, but he didn't look black at all.
I know a lot of people
Stephen
like that.
Colbert's like, welcome black congressman or something like that. And the guy was white. I was like, no, I'm black.
Maybe he had a little Darth Vader in him.
Maybe he did.
That was a skit from Saturday Night Live too.
He said, we come in all shades, brother.
Louis C.K. was at a doctor.
That's what he said, and it's true.
He was getting his like checkup because he's 45, you know, and you get a checkup and he gets done. He's like, everything looks good. And then he's like, well... Do you think we might want to, you know, since I'm like 45, maybe check my butt for a Darth Vader? A little Darth Vader figure, maybe? He's like, well, do you have a Darth Vader figure up your butt? And he's like, I don't think so. Why would I? That's weird. I mean, I'm just wondering. And then someone's like walking by the doctor's office, the janitor. He's like, hey, Reg, what's up? Kenan Thompson. He's like, I just overheard you guys talking. And I just figured if you were going to look up his butt for Darth Vader, maybe you could just do two while you're at it. Look up mine. He's like, why? Do you have a Darth Vader? He's like, I don't think so. I doubt it, but I don't know.
Hey, you got to get checked out just in case.
And so the next thing you know, the other doctor walks by. He wants one. The receptionist overheard.
Well, that's the same. Isn't that kind of like cancer? Right, like
yeah, while you're checking.
I don't think I got cancer, but why don't you stick your fingers up my butt anyway and check it out?
So then it goes black, and then all five of them, and the doctor's taking off his glove, and he's like, "All right, well, none of you had Darth Vader." He's like, "None of you guys have Darth Vader's up your butts." So they're like, "Man, we're so glad. Thanks."
See, that's it's just cancer, right? They just replace cancer with Darth Vader.
But you just want to get butt reamed for fun? Will you look up my butt just in case there's cancer or Darth Vader?
Have you ever been to Wyoming?
To what?
A Wyoming.
What?
Have you ever been to Wyoming?
Yes, I've been through Wyoming. Not.
Oh, yeah?
I've never stopped.
That's apt for this conversation. Have you ever been to Idaho?
I've been in Idaho. I stayed the night in Idaho.
Mm-hmm. All right. So how fast do you want to get out of those places?
Not really.
We just went through the corner of Wyoming.
Uh-huh. Why?
We're coming from Denver, and we're going through
Yellowstone
to get to the Idaho Falls, Pocatello area.
Pocatello.
Yeah. We pocketed Tello.
So you wanted to get out of there really fast, huh?
Boy.
Now you can get out of there even faster because they're raising the speed limit in those two states to 80.
Wow. Then you could just zoom right through.
Yeah.
I like wow. that. Wow. That's fast.
That mm-hmm. is.
Idaho is going to 80.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
I know. Imagine how fast you're going to get through that northern portion.
My car doesn't even drag that fast.
5 minutes now, maybe?
I don't know. How far is that between La Crosse at the top?
The panhandle?
It's not that. It's only...
I can reach across that with my fucking just...
What, 50 miles?
Is it?
Yeah. 70 miles?
If you're going from Washington to Wyoming?
Through Coeur d'Alene.
Wyoming on the other side?
No, Montana.
All right.
You forgot about that one, didn't you?
Montana.
No, Wyoming's, I knew it was over there somewhere.
Wyoming's down just below Utah.
Speaking of Wyoming, did you guys hear about Yellowstone National Park? Had a couple 4.8 Richter scale earthquakes.
That's nothing. Oops. I have those in my dreams.
No, that's not good, though.
Well, they've been having 6-pointers down in L.A.
Yeah, those old geezers.
Dude.
They're always sprouting from the ground.
Tom Green was kind of scared.
Tom Green? What's
he
got to do with Yellowstone?
That's the place you don't
want to wake up. No, they were having ones in L.A. last week.
All the fucking prairie dogs are probably popping out of their holes. That's what's going on in Yellowstone.
It happened at 2:30.
Ever since.
He's been prairie dogging since 2:30. And that's when I always schedule all my dentist appointments, too. What? At 2:30.
When they're all...
2:30.
God damn it.
I got I got you.
What's better for dentist appointments? Do you want to schedule it in the morning when the dentist is probably like... regretting that he went to work that day, or do you want it at the end when he's like, man, I wish I could just get off of work right now?
I want it right after lunch.
So he falls asleep?
Wait, right before lunch.
Oh, so he's got the hunger pains?
Yeah, so he eats my teeth. No, but you didn't let me finish. There's actually been 25 earthquakes since Thursday at Yellowstone.
25 earthquakes?
That's not good.
I know.
I got 25 earthquakes on my dresser.
25 earthquakes in Yellowstone Park.
I got an earthquake.
Every 25 minutes or so. And 25 people shared this link.
Dude, we got to bring that classic song back, man.
We'll play that Friday for party time, okay? All right. Well, I'll bring 25 lighters, and I don't even smoke cigarettes anymore. I do, however, smoke weed, which I'm doing right now.
Did you go through less sliders, do you notice?
Sliders?
Yeah, do you go through less sliders now?
Dude, I eat full-size burgers.
I meant the TV show.
Oh, I use way less lighters. No, I don't think I do. I don't even know. Lighters are like cheese to me. I usually,
when they get moldy, you throw them out?
No, I usually steal them when I can. And then just, not from people, but from stores.
You should make a lighter out of cheese.
Yeah, I have one. They have pipes made out of candy now.
Have you sold lighter cases made out of cheese? Did you ever get into the fad of having a lighter case?
No, my brother had one of those lighter cases that was like, it had like a unicorn with a fucking turquoise horn on it.
What?
You know, like a silver, like a metal Bic kike case with like an emblem on it.
A metal Bic kike. Right?
I can't speak.
A metal bukkake on his lighter.
Have you ever seen metal bukkake? It's when you pour molten metal onto a poor, unsuspecting woman's face.
From several sources?
That's right. Or several horses.
That's my favorite part of bukkake is the several sources.
It's several steel ponies squirting liquid chrome onto a fucking... That could be a video.
Hey, that reminds me of another similar story.
Tell me about it.
Did you know the University of Georgia has a policy for their basketball players? Orgies and gangbangs are inappropriate.
Orgies are the best policies.
Orgies and gangbangs are inappropriate for basketball players at the University of Georgia.
So now do you have to
It's not become a problem or anything. That's just, it is stipulated.
Do you have to be in a gang?
In the code of conduct.
To have a gangbang?
No, as long as your grandma's there.
Grandma.
Don't you remember that song? Everybody grab your grandma, it's a gangbang.
Yeah, we're headed for the gangbang.
Yeah.
It's called a gram bang.
A grang bang?
Grang bang, that's it.
Grang bang.
Welcome to the grang bang. Bring your granny back to the grang bang. Man. Oh my god. Hey, the Flaming Lips are releasing
They should.
A companion album to their Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon. What?
Wow. Oh, the Wizard of Oz?
Let me say that again.
So you could listen to that and the Wizard of Oz, and it would fit, right, then? By extrapolation theory?
No, they are releasing it. Oh, yeah, they're releasing an album designed to be heard at the same time as Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
All right.
You cue it up, you listen to them at the same time. So how, I don't understand. How's that going to work?
The Flaming Lips have always done stuff like that.
Yeah, but how
remember
can you listen to two records at once?
Remember when they did that one album... that had a four that was played four at once. They have a four album set where you have to play four albums at once.
Okay, well, the record's supposed to be called The Flaming Side of the Moon. They've teamed up with a bunch of other musicians.
Hopefully not Van fucking Morrison. God damn it, I heard that version of his song in a fucking movie the other day. What was it, The Departed or something? Oh, God, why were they playing that fucking song, man? The Van Morrison version of, you know what song I'm talking about, right? You know which one?
Brown Eyed Girl?
It's a Pink Floyd song that he did for The Wall in Reunion.
I didn't know he did it, and I don't want to hear about it.
comfortably numb.
Well, have comfortably numb.
He was deep voiced. He was deep.
Comfortably numb.
He was deep, he was the deep voiced Van Morrison.
Oh, I don't think that.
That's what it sounds like.
And my hands felt just like two balloons.
Not a lot of people know this, but he actually says baboons there.
Baboons.
He says, my hands feel just like two baboons. You got him turned on there?
Yeah.
Or did he turn
maybe
himself?
He doesn't know how to
differentiate between balloons and baboons.
Yeah.
I had that trouble when I was
don't
younger.
Don't you think it's better imagery? Because that song's all about imagery. Don't you think it's better imagery to imagine his hands as baboons?
Baboons?
No, because he had swollen hand blues. You know what the swollen hand blues is, right? That's in another song.
Swollen hand blues.
So anyway, dude, Flaming Lips. Song. Fucking Flaming Lips. You fucking got off the thing. It's now they are also noting that it's carefully crafted to sync up perfectly with the 1939 film Wizard of Oz.
Of course, yep.
They encourage listeners to pair the Flaming Lips with the original Alan Parsons engineered quadraphonic mix of Dark Side of the Moon. Who has that? Nobody.
You know, it was 1987 when the Flaming Lips came out with their second album called Oh My God, the Flaming Lips. You know how they spell God?
OMG.
G-A-W-D.
Well, God damn.
87.
Well, that...
They were ahead of their path.
You think that that's the first person to...
It's not like...
It's like Laud, Laud, Laudy, Miss Claudie is spelled with a W. Are you shorted out, dude?
Yeah, man. This thing is...
It's because you're not supposed to be moving it. It's a mic stand. I know that you're limited and you're like... You want to be comfortable and everything, but...
Here it is. Zarika.
What?
This is the 8th studio album from the Flaming Lips, released in October of 1997. Remember, what were you doing in 1997?
1997, I was starting a new band.
Sullen!
That's right. We got our first gig December 14th.
In 97?
Yep.
Wow. So that was before you guys really started practicing at my place, too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, we practiced at Gary Dixon's house.
Wow. I didn't know you guys are 97 deep.
Yep. We started in the summer of 97 with Jake, and then he moved.
Wow.
And then we got Scott Young, and we opened for Belly Down on December, I think it was 13th, actually, 97. It was the 13th or the 14th at the old First Round, which is now Macho's or Machismo's sports bar. It's a sports bar again.
Nice.
It was closed for a while, then it was like the bingo hall. Wasn't it a bingo hall for 5 minutes?
No, that was when the American Legion was,
American Legion, yeah.
After their building burned down, they were there temporarily, and now they got their new building.
Temporarily?
And so that's probably, they probably leased it up until then, and then went to change ownership. I'm going to jump in there and get it. I'm
going to
jump in there and get it one of these days and turn it into something all fucked up, and then it'll never be a bar again.
Why? What would you turn it into to be fucked up? You should turn it into a comedy
club. An all-ages venue.
All-ages comedy club.
There you go.
For little kids to hear shit jokes.
Zarika is the 8th studio album from 1997. The experimental rock album consists of 4 compact discs.
Wow.
Each containing 8 songs.
Okay.
But each of the 8 songs consists of 4 stereo tracks. Each CD.
And you have to listen to them all at the same time.
The album was designed so that when played simultaneously on 4 separate audio systems, the 4 CDs would produce a harmonic or juxtaposed sound. The discs can also be played in different combinations, emitting 1, 2, or 3 discs.
That's fucking crazy. Yep. And a wonderful idea. I can't believe that someone else hasn't already done that before 1997.
That would. How do you synchronize the records, though? Or do they automatically just...
Start it at the same time.
Yeah, have the same amount of space between the songs.
It'll eventually be released on DVD format.
Where it just shows a video of someone listening to all 4
You could
of them.
Probably, switch which one you want it on, when,
See, if you're listening to it and you have it arranged around you, like 4 CD players or whatever, it would be like true quadraphonic sound.
In Rolling stereo. Stone gave it 4 out of 5.
Well.
Said, wall of surround sound approach melds droning rock dissonance with warped off-kilter pop melodies.
That's awesome.
A la Pet Sounds.
A la?
I just said
I know. A la Pet Sounds.
Yeah. All of the Pet probably sounds. Only really, you know, I don't know if you would... You'd have to be really into the Flaming Lips, I think, to probably really enjoy something like that.
I think it'd be fun to do. I'd never heard of that until you just told me that story. So as I said, Monday, you learn something new every day on the Terry and Guys Comedy Show.
I like those guys.
I'm going to start liking them more.
Yeah, that one album, too, Clouds Taste Metallic. Did you know that Clouds Taste Metallic?
Yeah, I ate one once. It fucking about made my teeth fall out.
Really?
Yeah, it's been an acid rain, different kinda things like that.
Isn't that ironic?
You know what doesn't taste metallic?
What?
Clouds.
Pizza. Pizza now.
Pizza doesn't taste metallic.
I just ate like part of a piece of jerky today because I was kind of like Thanksgiving when you know you're going to eat some good food so you don't eat all day so you're extra hungry so you can have more enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
You ever do that on Thanksgiving or other holidays?
Oh, yeah.
I did that today. So today's kind of like a holiday for me. It's a Pizza Now holiday. You guys should call them up at 541-928-0900.
Do it.
It's a new month
928-0900. That's all you got to do on your phone, and you got pizza.
Maybe on Friday, but probably not till Monday, we'll be letting you know the new special of the month.
We won't have it, but get down there and get it now. The last few times you can get, what is it?
BLT.
The bacon, lettuce, tomato.
On a pizza.
On a pizza.
On a mona pizza.
Yep.
Do you know what an onomatopoeia is?
Yeah.
What?
That's where something about a word.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad you knew because I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Did you know the Flaming Lips song, They Punctured My Yoke, was sampled on the Beastie Boys To the Five Boroughs album in the song We Got the...
No, I didn't know that because I didn't listen to that because I think the Beastie Boys had already lost it by then.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just an opinion of mine. And now that MCA is dead, fuck the Beastie Boys, man. Fuck them.
They had a hit with their song, This Here Giraffe. Laughs. That's how the song goes. This here giraffe.
Laughs. I saw a bad picture on Facebook like of some guy too. Who it's fucking shot a giraffe at a controlled hunt.
Wow.
That's not nice. What's the fucking point?
Just say you shot a giraffe?
Yeah, but that you're in giraffe? An enclosed area and they're like, all right, there he is. Shoot him.
And you know what the giraffe is doing? In your neck, man. In your neck.
Yeah, well, at this point, the giraffe was just eating from a tree.
Oh, that bastard.
I know, he was just like, wah, wah. Then,
that's you there, giraffe.
Fucking.
What do you do? How do you mount a giraffe's head?
Guy had mounted his neck and he was all dead, and the giraffe's neck was all like slumped over, and the guy's all got his gun and he's all, it was actually a woman, and they're comparing her to like Ted Nugent and other assholes who like to shoot controlled hunts. You know, like if you're not a good enough hunter to go out and hunt it. Where there's not fences and shit. You should be hunted, right? They're in a fence. Okay. They can't get away? Cool. I'll just keep chasing.
I like it best when they're in a cage. I like to go to Foster Farms with my shotgun for chicken.
Foster Farms shotgun for chicken.
Fresh chicken.
That way you can get the freshest chicken on the farm.
Yep.
With fewest pellets in it.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to go get some pizza, and then we're going to see you guys on Friday. We'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to thank you for listening.
Yeah. I rock on and pizza now.
And my elbow still hurts, you guys. Feel sorry for me and send me money or something. And send Floyd a message to make us a new song that's a better loop. I make this one work because I'm a professional, but not everybody's as professional as I am. So. See you, Flames.
Meow.
Flames lips. Check out Flames' lips. That's a band.
Meow.
Hello and welcome to the plug section. This is going to be a super fast one because it hasn't changed much from last week. So I'm going to be like the guy from the little Hot Wheels. I'm going to talk really fast. Open mics for this week every other Monday at Dong Gong. It's Taylor's Bar and Grill, 13th and Kincaid in Eugene, 9 o'clock. Free. It's free. There's sign-ups, and they got, like, a wheel that you spin that gives you free drink specials and stuff like that. Every Tuesday at the Capital City Theater with Jared Richard in Salem. That's 210 Liberty Street up there, 8 p.m. It's $5 unless you're performing, and then it's free. Every Wednesday at the Tiny Tavern in Eugene, it's 4th and Blair. It's Mac Chase's open mic night at the Tiny Tavern. 9:30 p.m. is the sign-up. The show starts about 10 o'clock, also free. Every Thursday at the Green Room in Eugene, 710 Willamette Inside Doc's Pad. It's 8 p.m. sign-up. Show starts about 8:30 or 9 with Max Brockman hosting. And then Friday on... Every Friday at the Kush Cafe, 1235 Road Boulevard in Eugene at 9:30 p.m. Another open mic with Mac Chase. It's a free show, so come out and tell some jokes. All right, we got some comedy shows coming to the area, including Chelsea Peretti at the Hawthorne Theater on April 12th, Moshe Kasher at the Wow Hall on April 17th, Doug Benson also at the Wow Hall on April 21st, and April 25th, it's the 6th Grand Slam Comedy Show. With Alex Elk and Terry Guile and Jason Eifler and some few other people that will probably be there too. We'd like to get as many people out to this one as possible so I can try to pay this guy as much as he wants. Alex is the funniest person in Eugene from 2013. He's also the co-host of the Brickwall Comedy Show. And he tours all over the area doing comedy. He's been doing it for 20 years, so hope you come out to Denny's and check that out on the 25th of April. All right, music shows coming to the area, including heavy metal and hard rock and whatever. Destruction, Chrissian, and Ex Mortis at the Tonic Lounge, April 3rd. Also around there on the 4th or the 5th, it's Splintered Throne at the Ash Street Saloon with 30 Pound Test and Earth to Ashes. I can't remember the exact date on that, but you can look it up. It's the first weekend in April. Also that night, Black and Blue at the Hawthorne. That's April 4th. That's $20 and $25 tickets. Then Earth to Ashes and Splinter Throne are coming down to Albany on April 11th at Lucky Larry's, right off I-5 there, exit 233. I think Catechus is opening the show. Also that night, if you're not in Albany, stay in Portland and go to the Tonic Lounge where Hans Bellwitch, and Shadow of the Torture, featuring former members of Aldebaran and Thrombus and stuff. So go check out Shadow of the Torture and Bellwitch and another band called Hell. That's a Tonic Lounge, April 11th. April 15th, sold-out show at the Keller Auditorium with Queens of Stone Age. Anvil is coming to the Hawthorne Theater with Cemetery Lust and Spellcaster on April 24th. Tickets are a mere $13 in advance. Two extra bucks if you wait till the day of the show is 15. Stumpfest is the 24th, 25th, and 26th at Mississippi Studios, featuring such awesome bands like Yob and Tiesto and Black Pussy and Norska and Red Fang, all different colors and body parts and stuff. Then April 29th, it's Mastodon and Gahira at the Roseland Theater, $25 and $40. And then May 2nd, Pat Travers Band at the Tonic Lounge, Fu Manchu on May 3rd at Dante's. The same night as that is World of Lies and Nile with Seasons of Suffering, $13.50 in advance. You should get those tickets from Tony Avila because he'll hook you up with a poster and a CD and some other stuff for free. So that's awesome. And also coming later, May 28th, it's Black Flag at the Hawthorne Theater, $20 and $25. And then the last two shows I'd like to bring to you are Victims of Internal Decay shows. May 24th at the Ash Street Saloon with Spawn and World of Lies, Hyborian Rage, and War Crank. That's $5 in advance, $7 at the door. Ash Street Saloon. It's a Saturday night, May 24th. And then June 6th, also a Saturday, I believe. Not positive. You'll have to double check that. I know it's June 6th, though, at the Lebanon Elks Lodge. It's Alvin Palooza number 3, I think, featuring Victims, Splintered Throne, and Summer Soundtrack, and a bunch of other bands. I'm not sure. The lineup's not solidified yet, but that's enough stuff for you. Go out and do it. Hope to see you at some comedy shows out, you guys. I think I might be doing Kush Cafe on the 5th, but it's not confirmed yet. So check my website, terryguile.com, for my upcoming shows. And now you can go back and listen to the TagCast podcast some more because it's funny. All right. Thanks for listening, you guys. Peace out.